the work at hand. Thank you for being here this morning. I know that I may be tough to listen to. I'm not a public speaker, so I'll be looking at my notes a whole lot. I wanted you to know that in the back, we just finished up studying the churches in the book of Revelation, and this church is as close to the Philadelphian church, I think, that any could be. We would be the church of Smyrna, but we haven't been persecuted to my knowledge. But this should be an encouragement to each member that is here and a conviction to those that have stepped away from their faith, because I've been shocked about the apostasy that has been going on in the Christian faith today. And I would ask that you, each and every day, as you close your day, that you would pray for the church, that there would be a revival, because each revival starts with us. It starts in our heart and with us realizing that we're not perfect. And God has called us to do His work here on this earth. Okay. So the title of the message is The Church. I noticed that we didn't end up with a scripture this morning. It was out of Hebrew, and it says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we'll cover that a little bit later in the sermon. All right, the church. In Greek, it's ekklesia is the word. And it's translated to church. It leads to eschatology, which is the ecclesiology, which is the study of the church or the called out of. And this is the point I want to make. What are we called out of? We are called out of the world and the world's view of things. You could substitute the word sin for world. So we're called out of the world, as Paul said in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're called out of sin, the world, by the changing, the renewing of our minds, by the Spirit and the Word that we believe by faith. God has called us out. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Too many have turned it into an opportunity for the flesh, for their sinful desires. It's the opening that Satan's been looking for. And we need to be sure that we stand strong in our faith. In the old Westerns, being called out wasn't a good thing. That meant that you were going to be called out, usually around high noon, and there was going to be a shootout on Main Street. I can picture in my mind Lee Van Cleef standing on one end of the town, marching toward James Arness. If any of you know Gunsmoke, then that would have some meaning. There's going to be a meeting someday. All right. Now, in this case, it could be a good thing, because we are called out to give the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're called out to do His work. Now, some people get uncomfortable, like me, doing public speaking, because I don't do a lot of it. But I do teach the children, and I like to interact with them and help them understand what God's trying to tell them in His Word. The whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, can be used by the church for us to follow as a guideline for our life. And this church has held to the guidance of the Scripture. We have a lot of churches that have not. Okay. Not all of you are called to get up and sing a solo or do public speaking, but all of you are called to share a witness with those that are lost. And this church does it better than any church I can think of, because I can look out there and I can see individuals and I can see the ministries that they represent every day, from singing in the choir, the praise band, to working with kids at Vacation Bible School, to CEF, to ministry in the prisons. And this is a small church. The big churches should be doing a better job than us, but they don't. Too many of them are worried about how many people are in the pews. We're worried about the quality of the people in the pews. And Steve has always done an excellent job of explaining and teaching us from God's Word. And we need to be very attentive of what he is teaching us so that we can apply it to our lives each and every day. Okay? We are called to be a part of Christ's body. Did you notice that I said body? Because nowhere are we called to be the head. That position belongs to Christ alone. He is the head of the church. We are the body. The body is there to transport the head to where it needs to be. Now, I know that's kind of cryptic out there, but we're to be doing the work while Christ is doing other things. We're the ones in charge of seeing that people are being spoken to, that they're being encouraged, that they're being lifted up, that they're being educated. Okay. Which brings us to the problem of the church. People. God only has sinners to make saints out of. Some of us had to come from further down, and I'm no saint. I'm probably less of a saint than any person out there. But he's working on me each and every day. But I have to let him do that work in me. The most important message that can be brought from this pulpit is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, gave his life because of our sin, that he was crucified on that cross that we might be redeemed, bought back out of our slavery to sin, that we might enjoy eternity in heaven with God. Christ is our Savior. He is our leader. Can we do anything other than what he asked us? The message has never changed. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Then Christ ascended. We are to be witnesses to our family, to our next door neighbor, to those people that we work with. And I know, like I say, we have people here that witness on their own time, try to build others up each and every day. But there's a lot that falls short. The message of the day, of the week, of the century has never changed, because God does not change. Christ does not change. In Psalm 102:27, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. The job did not change, and it does not change until His return and the commission ends. Until that day, the church is called to spread the gospel, to encourage believers, to encourage non-believers, not in their sin, but to encourage them to search out their hearts. We are the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the mouth, not the mind. We are to do our job. He did His. He gave His life. Don't worry. They're not going to accept us. They're going to fight against us with all that they have. But we are called to stand strong. Salvation is free. But living the Christian life costs you everything. You have to lay it all down at the cross. I have to lay it down multiple times a day and remember who my Savior is and stand up for Him. Satan wants to sell you on everything except salvation. We walk out these doors and we see billboards and signs, and we listen to the radio and we see television, and we're confronted, especially the young people, moment by moment, every day, with desires that we should have, the desires that we don't need. God sees to our every need. We don't need a new car. We don't need to eat at this fancy restaurant. But we need to serve each other in love. In Romans 5:19, for as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one they will be made righteous. Christ died that we might become righteous through Him. If your neighbor doesn't know that, then you need to be talking to your neighbor. Now, I know that everyone in this church knows that. But there are people out there that the camera is putting this out to that don't know that. My prayer is that Christ would move forward in their life, that they would realize that He's there for them and He loves them each and every day. And He gave His life for them, regardless of what they've done. They are forgiven through Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross. The message of the church is summed up in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's us, that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is not the only thing that the church is to do, but the message that we are to give to the world. A further reading in John 3:17-21. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. We're the workers sent into the vineyard to prepare for the harvest. As a church universal, we have wandered from the path. Our duty. We should be seeing to the widows, to the orphans, to the homeless, to the mentally ill, to the veteran. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Those that went before us didn't do a very good job, did they? But thankfully the government stepped in. They're doing a wonderful job with all the homeless people, aren't they? Now we're facing more challenges. And I know that most of you watch the news and you've seen the attacks. Well, the attacks aren't out there somewhere else. The attacks are on us. As we watch the news every day and we're talking about diversity and inclusion and equity and all this other business, they're not talking to us. They're talking to God. They want nothing to do with God. But it's our job to stand up. The issue of abortion being sold as women's health. I know, I'm not a woman. I don't know. I'm pro-choice. Believe it or not. But the choice doesn't come when you're pregnant. The choice came in all those decisions you made before you got pregnant. Every decision I've examined my whole life that I remember, every decision I've ever made came down to a yes or a no, a black or a white. Many of the decisions I made in my life were black. They led me to the position I'm at today. But many of them were white. And hopefully today I'm making more white decisions than I am black decisions. Now I work with kids. I try and make them aware each and every day that they're the ones in charge of their life. Mom and dad loves them. And they set guidelines for children just like God loves us and sets guidelines for us. And we make the choice every day to follow Him or to go astray. I'm begging all of those people out there to follow Jesus Christ, because He never changes. He still loves you. You've never done anything that He didn't pay for. We also have homosexuality rearing its ugly head. In the Bible, God calls it an abomination. They want to sell it to you as a choice. Well, it is a choice. They are choosing to follow the one that they're serving. I want to call them back into fellowship with God. There's a lot of divisions in the church. I didn't do much searching, but over 6,000 Methodist churches have left the United Methodist Assembly. What got me curious about that was watching the church across the street from my house as they took down the red flag off of the cross, and they spent time out there covering up United because they didn't conform to recognizing homosexuality as a lifestyle, as something that was okay with God. Any homosexual person is welcome in this church today. But like we all came when we came to this church, we came as sinners. We've got the inoculation, but we still have the disease. We need constant shots, just like COVID. We need constant encouragement, edification, prayer. There have been many that have prayed for me, and I thank them for that, because it's not through my strength that I do this. It's through my weakness. I want each and every one of you to know, these aren't my words. These are the words that God gave me. A lot of them been changed as He showed me different things. But the church in general needs to know this. You need to know this so that you're not unaware of what's going on in the world. Transgenderism. God made them male and female. They can't change that. They're thumbing their nose at God. You can't tell me that I'm a man because I think I'm a woman. No, that falls under the mental illness, because what you think is not what you are. No, you think that's far away. We do have some transgenders in the area. I was made aware of the fact that at Amarillo High, the furries requested that they have a litter box. I'd never heard of this before. Where kids identifying as cats and dogs were wanting to have a sandbox. Thankfully, the school turned them down. It's here. It's not coming next week. It's already here. I can't put things on the sign out front anymore. I spend too much time trying to talk myself out of it, because it makes me sad to the point of crying that we have fallen this far. This little church on the edge of the cow pasture, standing strong, standing firm in our faith. But we have a lot of brothers and sisters that are being swept back and forth like the waves on an ocean. Female pastors. I know there's probably some out there that think, well, women have a message. They do. I didn't draw up the line. God did. He told Paul. That's why Paul wrote it down. Women have a special place. But in Timothy 2:12, it says, "But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet." God established the order. What makes us think that we should change that order? All of these things are chipping away at the wall that we stand on. Stones being thrown every day by Satan, the world, sin, whatever name you want to put on it. We have to stand strong in our faith. Each of us have to decide each and every day whether we're going to serve the world or serve the Word. I choose to serve the Word. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I think that stands for each and every individual out here in this congregation. Because the fight's coming. And the fight is not with our neighbor. The fight that we have is with the ideologies that he has started. You watch television and they portray Satan as a wicked, wild guy that's got horns and breathes fire and is a giant. He's not. He's whispering, sometimes yelling. He's got 90% truth, maybe even more than that, and 10% lie. Well, if you really love the people, then you would let homosexuals join your church. They're welcome. Come. But you're a sinner like I am. You've got to change your way. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Isn't that in a nutshell? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Our cornerstone is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And our foundation is the very Word of God. Now, accepting Christ, the body, us, we have to fall under the leadership of the head. That's Jesus. Ephesians 6:6. Not by way of eye service. Not acting like we're going to do it. As men pleasers, trying to make everybody happy. But as slaves of Christ, I am his bond servant. Do the will of God from the heart. We are to do the good will of God and not be swept back and forth by the world, like we're a ship on the ocean, going to and fro wherever the ocean leads us, because the ocean is leading you to the rocks. The Word of God is our foundation. Nothing is catching God unaware. He knew this was going to happen. He knew when it was going to happen. He wants to know, where do you stand? He has seen this all before. Ecclesiastes 1:9. So there is nothing new under the sun. God saw it all coming. He's seen it all in the past. This is nothing new to him. It's just new to us. But I know many of you have read through the Bible multiple times. I get more out of it when I write the words down, because I find myself examining those words. If we study the Bible, this is not going to catch us unaware. Okay. Many in the church think that God has gone on vacation and left us in charge. That's like leaving the kids in the candy store, isn't it? Because we're going to do what we think's right. Have I ever told you my favorite verse? Susan ought to get a chuckle out of this. Jeremiah 51:17. All mankind is stupid and devoid of knowledge. We live it every day. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. We make our own idols, each and every one of us. Fame, fortune, popularity. It doesn't make any difference what the idol is. If it's before God, throw it away. Don't bow down to it anymore. It's not inclusive to watch your neighbor stand in a pool of gasoline smoking a cigarette. It's okay to me if you go to hell. Why should I say something to you? We say something to them because we love them. I can't save anybody, but Jesus can save everybody. My job is to make an introduction and let them know that God loves them. A lot of our witness to people is how we act, what we do each and every day. I would call you into obedience to your Savior. And I look back there and I see that it's 5 minutes till 11 and my wife is probably already getting ready to throw something at me, because I've probably got another 10 or 12 pages here. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, especially those that are not sitting in this church, because you know that He does love you. And you know that you can draw closer to Him each and every day that you come and hear the Word. Steve spends pointless hours going over this. He already knows it, but he goes over it again and again, because there's something that God is revealing to us through the words that He speaks here. Now, I would like to thank Kim for, on short notice, she picked out songs that went very appropriately with this message. I don't know if I'm going to be filling the pulpit again in August, but if I am, I already have a sermon made. I just need to mark my spot, because I was already working on the second one and I never finished the first one. If you would, let me close with prayer and then I'll trot down there and sing again. Okay. Thank you, Father, for the word that you have given us.